MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
It's sundown. The day has just begun. Good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning, everybody. Yes. This is MDN Shows, running with the times, only on MDN TV, the podcast, and I am Major Daughter. Welcome, 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 everybody, wherever you're joining us from. You know, MDN TV has pitched his tent away from traditional grounds just to reach you. Yes, it's all about reaching you, reaching everybody, wherever you are right now. Tell everyone it's happening. It has already started now. Now, look, if you're a business owner, you're a founder, a business leader, a thought leader, a professional, this show today is for you. And I'll tell you why. I have a few questions for you. Is your business viable? Or do you want to know how to create a viable business? Well, my guest is an expert on that. My guest will be joining me momentarily, all the way from Virginia, Steve Prather, talking about how you can make your business viable, a profitable business, how viable businesses are created. We will be delving into that, but not only that, he also helps owners prepare their businesses for sale. And he's been doing this for 20 years, or more than 20 years, rather. He helps investors, and he's also a coach. He's also a coach. Now, if you've been thinking, how do I navigate this business thing, especially in your time like this, maybe your business is not even viable. Maybe your business has not been profitable for the longest time. Look, why don't you just jump in and tell everyone who wants to get their business into that viable state to join right after this.
MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
Well, the undeniable choice today is Steve Prather, all the way from Virginia, talking about how to five times your business with five principles. I welcome him now. And as you know, it's our culture here to let our guests introduce themselves. Steve, thanks a gazillion times for your time. The world waits for your wisdom. Steve?
Thank you, Major. It's great to be here with you on this show. Very excited about it.
Thanks a gazillion times once again. Now, would you tell them briefly, tell our global audience who Steve Prather is?
I'm Steve Prather. I'm a leadership team coach. I spent the last 20 years or more to work with small to medium-sized business owners. And initially, I helped them prepare their businesses for sale. I helped them find investors and buyers for their businesses. And then about 10 years ago, I started transitioning away from investment banking and being the advisor and the deal maker towards being a coach and helping businesses to create these viable businesses that investors would want to invest their money in and to actually grow their businesses.
Incredible.
That's it.
Incredible. How did you get started in business, Steve? I think we should start there.
How I got started. So I had dreamt of becoming a business owner and an entrepreneur ever since the age of 10. When I heard stories about my great grandfather who built a legendary bakery business in my home town of Budapest in Hungary. And you know, after finishing college, I wanted to go into business, but I got some great opportunities to work and study abroad in Greece, in Netherlands, and finally the UK. And I put these plans on ice. But eventually, when I was 35 years old, I was working for a big bank, and I actually got fired from this bank. There was a summer round of redundancies, and I had a high salary in the bank, decided that I was a good way to save money. And that's, I got pushed out, and that was my opportunity to start my own business. Suddenly, finally, I had no opportunity cost. I was out of the golden cage, and I just walked across the street and rented the apartment of a friend of mine, and I was in business the next following Monday of leaving the bank. So that's how I got started. I built my business. It was an investment banking business that I told you before. And we had a really good run up until 2008, which you all remember, the financial crisis.
Yes, yes, the big one.
That was really tough. We hit the wall. We almost went out of business. But around that time, I picked up a book, Traction from Gino Wickman, which described a business operating system that allowed me to rethink my business and to reorganize it. And we started growing again. And a few years later, a private equity group bought my business, allowed my family to permanently move over here to the United States. And that's when I got into coaching.
Now, in simple terms, in layman's terms, what is a viable business and how is it created, Steve?
So the idea of a viable business is a business that investors or other entrepreneurs would be interested to buy. And a viable business is basically a business that can be bought because it is self-managing. So the business owner is not necessary for the operation of the business. Business manages itself, which means it has a team of people who can run the business without the business owner. Secondly, it is fast growing, at least double digit growth. So it's a business that is moving forward rather than stalling, stagnating, or declining. And thirdly, a business that is profitable. Because if a business is not profitable, then the value of that business is very questionable.
Sure.
So investors want to buy businesses that grow, that are self-managing, and which are generating a healthy profit. Because ideally, the investor doesn't want to buy trouble for themselves. They want to buy an asset that produces money and hopefully more and more over time because it's growing. That's what investors want to buy. And the idea of the viable business is that there's no reason for you to create any other type of business than a viable business, even if you want to keep it. Because why would you want a business that is not profitable, that is not growing, and that soaks up all your time, and you have to labor in it every waking hours? You don't want to do that. You want a business that is working well and which is an asset for you as a business owner.
Yes. And now, for someone who's just starting out in business, how will they know if they're in the right direction and if their business will be classified as that business that is viable besides looking at the profits? Steve?
So the other two aspect is the business self-managing? So if you are the business owner, do you have to be in the business all the time for it to be successful, or you can go take 3 weeks off and go somewhere and the business will be running in your absence and people will be making decisions in your absence without interrupting your vacation? If that's the case, then you're on the right track. And ultimately, you want to be so dispensable for the business that you can even, you know, just check in perhaps with the leader of the business once a week and they can run the business for you. That's the first thing. And the second thing is the growth. So a business which is not growing is not able to attract and retain what I call A players, so people who are really good, who exhibit the culture, the core values of the business, and who perform at a high level, the kind of people that can really move your business forward. If your business is not growing, you're not able to keep or attract these people because they want to be in an environment where there's growth, where they can build their careers, where they can make more money, where they can move up with their experience curve. And you need to create that kind of growth environment to have those people in your company.
Hmm. This is challenging. Now, look, everyone wants to take a leap in business. They want to explode. They want growth. They want increase. You say you have five principles that can help any business five times their value. How? Can you take us through that, Steve?
Yes, happily. So five-timing the value from 5x-ing the value sounds like an exaggerated claim, but
yes,
it's actually very doable, and let me explain how. So what it takes is you need to increase the revenue of your business by 20% for 5 consecutive years. That will 2.5x your business in 5 years. And at the same time, increase your net profit margin, double your net profit margin. So if you're at 5%, grow it to 10% over the 5-year period, or if you're at 10%, grow it to 20%. Now, I know that it is possible to grow the revenues by 20% for most companies. I have done it for my clients. They have grown on average 21% of the last 5 years. My co-author of our book, Pinnacle, has witnessed the same over a 12-year career. So we know that it's possible. And the profitability increase is also possible because most companies have a lot of room to improve their profits by positioning and differentiating better, by aligning their people around their purpose, by creating consistency and scalability with playbooks, and by holding everyone accountable to perform at a high level. So these are the two elements: grow the revenue by 20% for 5 years and double the net profit margin. Now, the five principles are, the five P's are people, purpose, playbooks, performance, and profit. These are the five principles. And very simply, having great people in your organization, the right people in the right seats who you are coaching on a regular basis, and defining where you're going, your vision, and how you're going to get there, your strategy, and defining your playbooks, so documenting all your best practices so that it's not just you who can do it, but people who are new to the organization can also execute those processes, and then making sure that you have a strategic planning process where you break down your vision and strategy into annual and quarterly goals, and you have individual metrics for everyone in the company and the meeting structure. That's the performance. And finally, the byproduct is going to be profit, but there's also, we have some tools also to make sure that you are highly profitable and you can sustain this over time. So these are the five principles.
I think I missed the fourth one. It's people, purpose, playbooks, profit, and what's the fourth one? The fifth one.
So people, purpose, playbooks, performance, and
profit. Yes. Wow. This is amazing. People, purpose, playbooks, performance, and profit. Those are the five principles. Now, how does one get started on getting these right? Because I believe the number one biggest problem that most businesses face is people, not hiring the right people, or hiring the unskilled, or hiring relatives that they cannot fire, or hiring friends that cannot deliver and they're afraid to fire. How does a business owner just get these five principles right, Steve?
Yeah, so the people principle is all about picking people who fit your culture and you who can deliver on the functions and the outcomes that your company needs. So that sounds very, very simple. But what it means is that you have to be really clear on the core values of your business, the behaviors that those people exhibit who are helping your business. So you have to discover those core values, whether it's, you know, working hard, whether it's, you know, it's putting the customer first, whether it's, you know, engaging with the details of your business. You have to define those. It is different for every company.
Yes.
So you have to discover them. And when you discover them, then the next step is to visualize your organization. You look 6 to 12 months into the future and figure out what are the major functions that your business has to have to be successful. Does your business need a sales function? Does your business need a marketing function? How do you deliver your service? What is that function? Is it delivery? Do you call it operations? Do you have a finance function? So define the handful of functions that are necessary for your business to move forward in the next 6 to 12 months, and define what the outcomes are for each of those functions. So for your finance function, it may be bookkeeping, it may be payroll,
yes.
It may be financial control. For your sales function, it could be generating leads and converting them into customers. So define what those outcomes are, and then you have to find the people who live your core values and who can deliver on the outcomes. Right person in the right seat. These are the kind of people you want.
Yes.
And then you want to make sure that you coach these people so that they can, you know, they can improve over time. You give them feedback, you share your expectations with them, you look after them, you take care of them, and then you'll have great people in your organization.
This is definitely business 101. Now, I'm just thinking, as a business owner, do I know to get these five principles right, do I outsource the recruitment, or the recruitment should be contained and should remain in the company itself? Do these companies do their own recruitment, or they outsource it? What should be the strategy there, Steve?
Well, it depends on your individual circumstances. But, you know, you can outsource the search for the people, but the ultimate decision on who you hire, I don't think you can outsource that.
Yes.
Because it's going to be your judgment, and it's one of the most important decisions that you make is the people that you hire. And I know some big companies where the CEO, I think even I read about Google, that for a long time, the founders of Google wanted to see every person that is being hired, and they wanted to have a quick conversation with each of those people.
Wow.
It's not possible anymore, but they did that even when the company was several hundred employees, because they felt it was so important that they keep a good grasp on the people that they hire so that they fit their culture, especially they fit their culture. So you can outsource the search, the identification, maybe the promotion for those people.
Yes.
But ultimately, you have to make the decision, and you may not do it personally as a business owner, but if you build a leadership team below you, that people really are embracing your culture and are clear on what you need, then they will be able to make those judgment calls themselves, and the people report to them.
Now, why should business leaders or business owners set ambitious 5x or 5x growth target for the next 5 years. I mean, in reality, some businesses never even reach up to 24 months. They don't even get to 2 years. They die within 6 months or 12 months at most. Now, how do they even set this ambitious 5X, five times growth? Steve?
So this, so the principles really work for companies that are already established.
Okay.
So typically, I would expect these companies to have at least 10 employees, 10, 15 employees. So it's not a solopreneur trying to get off the ground.
Yes.
But it's already, there is a product or service that they are delivering to, at some level of sustainability, so they could hire those people. That's when these principles really become more useful, most useful. But even a startup entrepreneur, for a startup company, it's very easy to 5X, right? Because they start from nothing. So
yes,
to 5X, that will be very, very easy. I would say for a startup company, the most important thing is that they have a service or a product that they can, that is useful, helpful for people, and they have the ability to sell it to their first customers. So that's number one. If you are not able to do that, then it's too early to think about big picture and building a company. You just want to build a business off the ground, which has a product or service that can sell it and deliver on it. And when you're at that stage, then I think the focus should just be to provide the service and get new customers. But when you start to have about 10 or more employees, then you are looking at, okay, how do I empower these employees? How do I organize this business so that I don't have to do all the heavy lifting myself, that these people are going to understand where we're going, how we're going to get there, and we are bringing some level of systemization into the business with the playbooks and having meetings where we hold each other accountable on achieving our objectives and our metrics on a regular basis.
All right. No, you can finish your thoughts, Steve. It's okay.
Yeah, no, so that's it. So so these higher level principles kick in when you already have a business, and I define it as you know, some level of sustainability when you can employ 10 people on an ongoing basis, then you already have something that is worth growing. Before you get there, you are still experimenting. You know, startup companies call it market viability or product to market match. You are still exploring whether you have the right kind of product or service that there is a need for in the market. And until you find that, there's no point growing. You're still experimenting.
Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, we are talking business, how to 5X or five times your business with five principles. My guest is Steve Prather, who has spent over 20 years helping business owners to prepare their business to be viable, profitable, or for sale. We'll be right back after this.
MDN TV, the podcast. Be abreast with now. Never miss a thing with MDN TV, the podcast. We love to keep you in the present with diverse goodies from secular and non-secular subjects of global interest. Join us. Grab more from these series. Listen to our podcasts. The undeniable choice.
Yeah, the undeniable choice is still Steve Prather, and we're talking business. Now, Steve, let's come back to creating structures. How does one create a structure of accountability that will allow one to attract and keep A players or even investors to their business? Steve?
Yeah, so what you want is you want a business that where your people are accountable to executing your goals. The best way to do this is, first of all, to have the right kind of people in the organization who want to do that.
Yes.
We call them A players and A potentials, so people who are a good fit to your core values, your culture, and who are a good fit for the functions that your business needs. And then you want to organize these people so that you regularly communicate. Every quarter you sit together with them and you decide what your priority is going to be for next quarter. What are your goals, we call them rocks, that you want to accomplish. And you measure the performance on a scoreboard.
Yes.
So you know exactly what maybe there is marketing, then they have to generate a certain number of leads. If they are in sales, they have to have a certain number of sales presentation and so on. And then you get together every week with your team and you're checking in on who is doing what is happening on achieving the rocks, hitting the metrics, what are the challenges and problems that come up that needs to be resolved. So you're working on solving that. You talk about how the customers are doing, how your people are doing. So you have weekly meetings where you do this. You also check in daily. You have a daily stand-up meeting where you make sure that, you know, if anything is amiss, then you can handle it. You know exactly what happened yesterday that you need to know. People share what they're going to be doing today that the team needs to know and where they are stuck. And then every month you bring your people together, your leadership team together to review the numbers and whether you are making good progress on your quarterly objectives. That's your meeting structure. And every year you do an annual strategic planning. That's also part of your meeting structure. So the accountability happens in these meetings, whether they are daily, weekly, monthly or quarterly or annual meetings. And everyone is responsible to achieve certain goals and to hit certain numbers. And you're checking in, you're identifying topics, challenges, and you work on solving these together in a concerted manner. That's how you perform.
Mind blowing, I must say. You know, I'll tell you why. This can work anywhere and will work anywhere, anytime, in any type of business. I mean, weekly meetings, daily stand-up meetings, every month meetings that brings the whole team, annual meetings. This accountability, because some organizations don't even have an accountability structure or anything like that. Thanks a gazillion times for this, Steve. Now, let's talk about attracting and keeping investors or A players. Where do even people find this? I mean, I've heard people say we have businesses, but no funding. We have businesses. Money is attracted to ideas. But how does one use the idea to attract the money or the A player, Steve?
So these are two different topics. Attracting A players and attracting investors require a different process. So attracting A players, first of all, what you want to do, like if your business, job number one is also to keep your existing customers happy. And then the other one is to add new customers to the to your company. So you keep your A players by growing the business so that they can continue to grow in your company, because you create opportunities. A growing business continues to create new opportunities for people inside it.
Yes.
So that's how you keep players. You also help them, you coach them, you mentor them, so they feel like their career is in good hands in your company. You attract them by setting out a powerful purpose for your business, and a compelling vision that you can share with the people outside, so they will be excited to be part of your story, your journey. You know, I like to talk about one of my clients is a contracting company in the energy efficiency space, and their vision is they want to convert 1 million houses into net zero, where it doesn't burden the environment. All the energy is being generated by the house itself. So that's a very compelling vision, and a lot of people want to be part of that story. They want to be part of this environmental story and they want to join their company. So that's one way of attracting people. The other way is if you are differentiating yourself and people notice you because you do things differently.
Yes.
Than others. You know, look at Starbucks. They are completely differentiated from all other coffee shops because they brand themselves in different ways. They even the server is called barista. They brand even the cup. They call it venti. So they are completely differentiated coffee shop, and everyone knows Starbucks. So how do you differentiate yourself? By differentiating yourself, you can attract the attention of your players as well. And when you are profitable, then you can look after your employees. You can pay them a good salary. You can give them bonuses. So that's going to also be attractive
yes.
for A players. So that's the attraction of the A players, the good employees. The second is the money, attraction of the money.
Yes.
Well, it's typically, again, all about setting out a vision for your investor, why they should put their money in your company, how you are going to double or triple their money. And again, if you have a compelling vision, which is credible, which you believe in, and you can prove with the history of your company that you are on the path to achieving that vision, then you can go out to investors and you can show them that this is where you want to take your company, and they will also evaluate it based on their knowledge and experience, whether they can believe in that vision. Does it make sense based on their industry knowledge and their knowledge of the trends that are happening in the marketplace? And if they do believe it, then they're going to give you money because they want to be part of your story and they want you to make money for themselves, for them as well.
I want us to talk about your book, but before we go there, maybe, look, you have given, this is business 101, and everyone that is listening out there, Steve is helping you make your business viable, but not just viable, profitable. How many businesses out there need this? You talk about a five-step formula to create, and I almost let you go. I couldn't let you go without this, really, without you answering this one. Five-step formula to help create consistency, scalability, and foster delegation and growth. Steve, would you like to take us through that, and then we can talk about your book?
Yeah, so we're talking about creating playbooks. So playbooks are critical for creating consistency and scalability in your business. And the idea of the playbook is that you want to document the best practice of doing something in your business. Let's say it's sales.
Yes.
So your best salesperson, or you as a business owner, how do you sell the service of the business? What's the best way of doing this? You want to document this, and then you want to turn it into a process, a playbook, so that other people that join your business who don't have your experience and your level of intuition will also be able to successfully sell using the best practices. And then you, over time, you can refine it and improve it even further. So that's the idea of the playbook. And the five steps, the first step is to select the playbooks that you want to define.
Yes.
And we like to start with the two most important ones are often the customer journey playbook, we call it. So how does the customer, how do you attract the customer, bring it into the company, serve them, and grow them with your business? If you define that, then you will capture the most important processes in your business. The second very important is what you call the employee journey playbook. So how do you attract those A players and bring them in and make a big positive impression on them so that they are excited to join the new company, and how do you look after them and help them be successful? These are the first two that I recommend, but you can select other ones as well, you know, operations, finance, marketing, and so on. So first step one is select the playbooks that you start with. Step two is to record those processes. So again, if you're sales, flick on your cell phone and record the audio of the sales pitch.
Yes.
if you are in construction, put a GoPro camera on your helmet and, you know, walk through the construction site and do your thing and record it. Step three is to document that process. So what are the major steps and what are the tools that you use to execute that process? So again, if you are a carpenter and you are building the frame of the house, so what are the steps of, you know, cutting the wood and putting it together and nailing it together and so on? What are the major steps and what are the tools that you use for that? That's the documentation. Step number four is review.
Yes.
So when you have the process documented, then you want to share it with all the people that could have a say in this process to can approve it or critique it. It could be the person who is delivering that best practice, or it could be leadership team members. So let them critique it and sign off on it. And finally, step five is to activate it. So you got the process, which is documented, the playbook is documented, it's been reviewed. Now it's time to activate, put it in your digital depository, playbook depository, or physical binder where you keep your playbooks, and announce it to your employees that would be part of that playbook process. You know, put it on your blog, put it in your email, you know, have a call a meeting and explain how it works. So whatever is your process of activating your playbooks, do that. So the five steps: select the playbooks that you want to define.
Yes.
Record them, video or audio. Document it. Review it, and finally activate. These are the five steps, and it's easier than you think to do that.
Whew. I'm telling you, this is so amazing, because this is life changing. If anyone gets it's simple and straightforward, just five steps. That's all. Let's talk about your book, because I believe that your book will help our listeners, our viewers, and everyone else who wants to hear more and know more to find it from your book. Tell us about your book, Steve.
So our book, and I have a co-author, Gregory Cleary, so I'm not the sole author of it.
Okay.
But our book is called Pinnacle, Five Principles That Take Your Business to the Top of the Mountain.
Wow.
And you can find it on Amazon, and you can also read a summary for free on my website. You can go on my website, stevepreda.com, S-T-E-V-E-P-R-E-D-A. .com, and you can download it and read the summary of it there as well, if you want to check it out, or you can go on Amazon and pick up a copy. It's available in all different formats, audiobook and Kindle as well.
Brilliant. The book actually expounds even the more on what you have gone through. And if anyone has missed anything, they can sure get it on the book. Now, how can our listeners find out more about you? How can our viewers find out more about you, Steve?
So best way to go is stevepreda.com. And you can also check out the Management Blueprint podcast that I'm hosting. So Management Blueprint on Apple Podcasts,
wow,
or wherever you get your podcast, is also a good way.
Wow, beautiful. Thank you so much for your time, your wisdom, and all that you have shared. I can tell you, these are undeniable truths that can change anyone listening out there. Steve, your parting shots, please. Your last words before we go. We have come to the tail end of our show. Your last words, Steve?
My last words. Well, you know, don't build a business. If you're building a business, you're putting all your effort and the personal sacrifices that it requires to build a business. Don't make the mistake of not building a viable one. So make sure you build a viable that can be an asset. So when you are hanging up your shingles, when you want to transition to the next phase of your life, whether it be retirement or, you know, become an investor or become an artist or a speaker, whatever you want to be, you have a business that is an asset. You can transition it to your family members, or you can sell it to someone for good money because it's a business that can go on indefinitely without you. So that's my recommendation.
Thanks a gazillion times, Steve Prada. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Steve Prada all the way from Virginia, helping you build businesses that are viable and profitable with five principles ready. People, purpose, playbooks, performance, and profit. Who wants to build a business that is viable and profitable? Now check this broadcast, check this program, check this podcast, this episode, and you can visit Steve Prada on www.steveprada.com. All the links are available in the description. Now to all our viewers and listeners around the world, well done.
MDN Talk Radio. The mic swings to you. At MDN Talk Radio, the conversation is upbeat with life-enhancing chats moderated by personalities that matter. Exclusive conversations to keep our radio community interactive is with you now. Log on from the comfort of your couch or take us along in your palm as you go. Hear us. The undeniable choice.